This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We're not just talking about self-defense here. We're talking about at the stake of your wife's life. An intruder breaks into your house, and he is going to kill members of your family. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast. A special episode for me, maybe special episode for you too. I don't know.
Absolutely.
So everybody, this is Marv Miller, a Mennonite pastor, but that's really irrelevant compared to what I'm about to say next. Longtime listener to the podcast, first listener to the podcast turned guest.
I should pat myself on the back.
That's how we met, was through this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
You emailed the podcast, because that's what we do here. I just read your emails, and you were one of the emails, and it was very intriguing to me. I'm not exactly sure. It wasn't that it was more special than other emails, but something in my spirit says, reply to this guy. And that reply, we can't remember if it was 2 or 3 years ago you emailed, but that reply led to a brotherhood between you and I, a friendship that has grown just from one email. And from my reply, that led to a few more replies. That led to a phone call between us. You live in South Carolina with your family. I live in Texas. We then met in Pittsburgh for a concert of mine.
Yes, just last September.
Last September. And then there was a conference, a pastor's conference in Austin. And I said, hey, Marv, what about you come to this pastor's conference and come stay with us in the barn? So that's literally what you've been doing the last 3 or 4 days, is staying here at the house. And now you're on the podcast, the same place, full circle, where we first met. I think it's just it's a fascinating story just for me, what this podcast has done and the friendship that, like, if nothing else mattered on this podcast, I got a great friend out of it.
Yeah. Well, it's really an honor, and it feels so undeserving to actually be here. I was talking with my wife the other day, and it just feels like we're walking on holy ground here, because like she said, there's no reason on earth that we should be here. And the likelihood of Granger reaching out, like if you reaching out to an email that I sent, you know, what caught your attention and why did you decide to reach out to me. And I just love the thought that, or, you know, what I wrote a little bit of my testimony, and somehow our spirits connected in that email. And definitely our friendship was built off of our spiritual connection. And that's, we're not really friends as much as we're brothers.
True.
And so to actually be able to, well, when I started listening to your podcast, I connected with your perspective. Mm-hmm. It resonated with me when I listened, and I had first heard your music. And then when I started actually listening to the podcast, which I'm not sure at what point I found out you actually had a podcast. When I started listening to it, I knew right away that your life was changed and you had found what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And of course, I wasn't always making the connection between what you were saying in your podcast and some of the music. And that was the curious question. That's why I emailed you.
Yeah. You want me to tell them? Because
you do.
Because they might be thinking, what in the world did he say in an email that made Granger actually reply? Because I never, ever reply. I just instead put him in the queue. By the way, that email is podcast@grangersmith.com. You email and we answer your questions. That's what the format is. You emailed. And I, instead of putting it in the queue to read it on the podcast, I felt compelled to reply. People might be thinking, what was it? Well, it was part of your testimony. But then the end was, what will you do? I'm paraphrasing. What will you do with Earl Dibbles Jr.? And how will that character still bring people to the truth?
Yes. Like, how do you connect Earl Dibbles with your faith?
Yeah. And at the time when you emailed, I already knew that I was going to, Lord willing, leave touring, that things were going to change for me. And you were almost alluding it. Hey, you know that the road you're on, you know where this is headed. If you take what you believe, Granger, to its fullest extent, you're going to start leaving the secular life behind.
Yes.
You knew that in a way.
Yes, yes, I did. I mean, that's exactly.
And so it's either that or you don't really believe what you're saying, do you?
I was so curious how you're going to make the connection, because I was thinking, I've heard you talk enough. I know you've had to have thought about this. And because I knew at that point, well, you weren't just living two different lives. I knew you had made a connection somehow. There was some reason that you were singing the songs you were singing, but then also sharing the faith you were sharing. And not every song, of course. There was a few that caught my attention.
Yeah.
And I think the first one that really made me start thinking, I need to ask him a question, and I never told you this, but was the song, If You're Happy and If You're Country and You Know It, Raise a Beer.
Yeah.
And that was a children's song that I knew growing up, If You're Happy and You Know It, Clap Your Hands. And then this was like a rewritten song. And so I thought, now how does he connect that with what I hear you say on the podcast? And that's what really made me start thinking about the question. Not that, well, I'm from the Mennonite culture, and so that just caught my attention, that song, that you'd taken a children's song and rewrote it into a country song like that. I knew there was a connection somehow, so I was looking forward to hearing you explain it. When you actually emailed back and said, I'm trying to remember exactly what your words were, you said, a lot will be changing for me in the next 10 to 12 months. And I don't think Earl will be making the journey with me. I think that's what you said. Yeah. And it took me off guard. I expected to hear some kind of a response of, well, this is the reason I sing this and then I say this. And not everybody may say there was a conflict or anything. It was just,
sure.
It was just that question that or your answer that was just, well, I'm actually changing directions here. Was so authentic and so honest, and just it really caught me off guard. And then I knew you were for real when you responded what you did. That like took all the doubts out of my mind. So then after that, listening to your podcast is where it's like your perspective connected with me, and I just built a trust off of the perspective. You know, I may have given different answers different times. As a pastor, I love listening to your podcast because I run those questions and then your answers through my head all the time. You know, when I do counseling, when we're meeting with young couples or young people, you know, we're essentially sitting across the campfire from people in person. We have them in our living room a lot. And those questions have really given me years worth of experience in just knowing, oh, this is the direction that would be good to go with a question like this. So you've what is this, really helped me.
What is this room, the perspective of sitting in this chair looking out instead of looking from the camera in, how does that perspective for you? What is that like?
Well, I had no idea what to expect, and I'm not familiar with talking on a podcast, especially not with like a video podcast. And so
the
I was...
beard looks great on video.
We'll wait. We'll have to wait and make that call. But so sitting here, it feels surreal. Really, it does. But it's in another way, it feels just like you and I are having a conversation. It really does. It's a nice atmosphere you have here, and I'm looking forward to what we have
to talk
about.
That's so cool. And you're speaking for all the people that have listened as long as you have, for several years, that have wondered what it might be like sitting in that chair.
Yeah, it's amazing. It actually feels good so far.
Well, I'm not going, just because you're here, I'm not going to change the format of what we do. We're still going to answer questions.
Yeah.
And I think it would be interesting because we're both brothers in Christ, but we do come from different cultures.
Yes, quite different.
And just like a lot of people that are listening right now, come from different cultures, and that's okay. And so I think a different culture will probably prompt a different answer. Before we get started, I will say something ironic about this conversation today is that Earl Dibbles actually filmed a video this morning. So Earl is not dead. He filmed the video.
That's great.
Because there is a girl at our office at the Yee Yee Farm that has a Cybertruck, the Tesla truck. Mm-hmm. And so we filmed Earl's reaction to a Tesla truck and what he thinks about it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
The Earl these days is different.
I didn't think Earl should be killed.
No, he's not dead.
How did I say it? He should be converted, not condemned.
Yes, he should be converted, not condemned. So the first question, by the way, if I'll say it again, the email is podcast@grangersmith.com. And you're emailing my producer, Ant-Man, who is going to put your question in queue. So we ask, just don't send the same question a bunch for Ant-Man's sake. And don't send it longer than about a phone length, because it makes it harder to read in this setting. The first question, and I've already scanned it because I can see it right now, and this is already going to be interesting with a Mennonite pastor. It comes from Caden. It says, "Hey Granger, what are your thoughts on concealed carry self-defense? Is it okay to kill someone if it saves someone else's life? I know this is a deep question, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are. I enjoy your music and your podcast. Thanks, Caden Anderson from Illinois."
Interesting.
Great way to start. I'm really interested in this because in the Mennonite culture, you follow the, I don't want to say law, you follow the...
Teaching
of... non-resistance. Is that what it's called?
That's right.
Of non-resistance. And that's literally taking the gospel to the fullest extent of believing Jesus when he says, love your enemies, turn the other cheek. So I'll start with you, Marv. What are your thoughts? Of course, we're not just talking about self-defense here. We're talking about at the stake of your wife's life. An intruder breaks into your house, and he is going to kill members of your family.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear your answer on that.
So the worst case scenario is something that is always given out as an example.
Okay? Sure.
So this is a worst case scenario.
And let me just pause.
Yeah, go ahead.
Very, very rare
mm-hmm.
for this scenario to happen. If once in a lifetime, that's 1 in 1,000 families. I don't mm-hmm. personally know anyone that this has actually happened to.
Right.
But you're right. We throw the exception out as, what do you do here? So I'm not trying to trap you or say, gotcha. Or just, I'm asking what everyone is thinking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And worst case scenario is actually good to talk about because it can give you then a good precedent to build off of for other scenarios that are not worst case.
Sure.
But often they don't have good answers, so I can give good things to think about.
Okay.
But the thought of, and this is a conversation that has been happening for a long time around a lot of dinner tables and couches and even around Mennonite dinner tables? What if this would happen? What would you do? And it's hard to know what you would do. For me, I don't know what I would do. So the position that I generally take, and I don't condemn someone for taking a different position. I have good friends that actually carry, and they actually have a weapon of self-defense at their disposal. I've decided to take the position, well, I've decided to not put myself in a position where I have to decide I'm going to use a weapon that can kill someone or not. And so I don't sleep with a pistol beside my bed. I don't have a pistol that I carry on me on a regular basis. And I've chosen not to do that because, well, for me, it comes down to it's a step of faith, because I would want nothing better than to be able to fully protect my family. I'm a protector and a provider, but I'm also called to trust God. And by saying that, I'm not saying that someone that decides to have concealed carry and actually use a weapon isn't trusting God. I'm just speaking for myself. And I think I'd be speaking too for a lot within the culture. It's a step of faith to decide to not put yourself in that position where you have to make that choice. And a lot of times, you know, we would look at the scripture where Jesus would have told his disciples that he that lives by the sword will die by the sword, paraphrasing there.
Sure.
But that if you decide to have that as your protection, then very likely that will have to be your protection. That's just something to think about.
Yeah, and now, that's great.
I would love to hear your thoughts. I don't know if you have any other questions for me. I'd be happy to answer. That's just the short version of kind of where we find ourselves.
That's building up to it. So now it happens. You're saying your answer is, I don't know what I would do, but I'm not putting myself in a position to have something readily available to kill.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. That's not saying that I wouldn't use what I have to try to take care of the situation,
yes,
but for sure I'd be crying out to the Lord in a situation like that, knowing that he's actually seeing what's happening, and that it's certainly not in my heart to, it's not from a position of being a coward or a position of not shouldering my responsibility. We want to shoulder our responsibility as men with all our hearts in our culture, but it would be the Anabaptists and the position of non-resistance would largely be taken from Jesus' attitude of, if my disciples were of this world, if my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight? I think that's how he said it. If my kingdom was of this world, then would my servants fight? But my kingdom's not from here. And based on that, he let the Jews and the Romans capture him and crucify him. And whether that's a totally accurate interpretation of that verse, I think that's where kind of a foundational verse for the Mennonites to live a non-resistant life. And it's been a blessed life. You know, the Mennonites were severely persecuted when they first broke off of the Catholic Church back in the beginning of, like, in the 1500s. And it was their non-resistant stance that really made them who they were. It was kind of their foundation of one of their foundational beliefs way from the beginning. So there's just some stuff to think about. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with anything you said. And I don't know if I would answer it differently. I love the idea that I'm not going to have something on me that would tempt me to taking a life. Because I've joked in the past with Amber, like, as a Christian, boy, I'm taking out all the kneecaps. I'm going to take out their kneecaps and I'm going to preach the gospel to them.
I can't say that exact thought hasn't been in my head.
As I'm wrapping a tourniquet around their leg.
Yeah, yes.
In my living room.
Yes.
In the middle of the night, I'm wrapping a tourniquet around their leg and telling them about Jesus with 911 in my left hand, you know?
I like that. I do.
But it's going to another level saying, and I'm also not going to have anything in my house that would tempt me to blowing their head off. Because who knows in that moment if that's what you would be tempted to do. I don't have a problem with your answer. I think, first of all, once again, I have to reiterate on this podcast, right now we're talking about an extreme isolated occurrence that is very, very rare. to sleep with a pistol under your pillow for this kind of scenario is like winning the lottery if it actually happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Especially living in a first world country. And there are a lot of people that will disagree, but I would challenge them to test their heart and their faith. If that resistance in their mind to this idea is coming from culture or coming from God.
That's good.
There are biblical arguments to make for a armed resistance. There are biblical arguments, Romans 13, for Christians serving in law enforcement or military. There is a biblical argument for it, and there's a biblical argument against it. People email, you've probably heard all the time, I feel a calling to go into the military, but I'm torn as a Christian if I should be someone who kills. I know that we have a lot of stories in like World War II where there was a draft and people went and they followed the Romans 13 governmental rule of going into the draft because that was the law. But then when they got into the army, they said, I will not carry a weapon. I'll do anything else. I'll carry the coffee. I'll help with the tourniquets. I'll carry the sick out. But I can't. I need a religious exemption for carrying a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So we do see faithful authority to Romans 13, carrying out the law, and a faithful observance to Jesus in non-resistance. So I think it can work. There's arguments either way. I think if you're going to fall on one side and say, this is the side I'm falling on, I think non-resistance is the side to fall on.
Well, I think sometimes there's not explicit, like you said, arguments both ways. It's not always completely clear or right and wrong, but sometimes there's blessing that goes with believing a certain way. The thing that we could fault on as non-resistant people is that non-resistance is a lifestyle. It's not just deciding not to carry a pistol, but often we would draw a line there. We're not going to kill someone, but then we really don't live non-resistant in other areas of our life. And for us to really believe that, you know, we're not typically involved in the court system. We're not typically involved we're not considered patriotic. We don't involve ourselves in governmental affairs in general. Now, Mennonites, they're kind of on a spectrum of conservative, liberal. I guess that's the right words to use, but
sure,
there's some that are more involved than others, for sure. But in general, we would consider that a lifestyle, not just an instance based or a specific thing like carrying a pistol.
You're doing such a great job, and I'm. It's occurring to me as we're talking that I also don't want to put you in a situation because you are a pastor representing your church, and you're also representing a culture. And there are many Mennonites that listen to this podcast, many Amish, which maybe we could talk later about the difference between the two, since a lot of people associate the two cultures together, even though they're not. So I don't want to put you in this situation.
It's an honor. I don't feel put in a certain
I don't want
position.
To put you. I don't want to put you in a corner.
It feels like an opportunity for me.
Great.
And it's wonderful.
Great.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Burn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You know, the question has often come up to me where people say, what was your first dance at your wedding with Amber? What song did you use? And well, my answer is I wrote my own song. And that's just kind of what I've always done. And that's been what I've enjoyed doing is capturing a moment with lyrics and melody and then making that very special moment of our lives live forever through that song. So then when I hear that song, I think back to that moment. It connects it. And so I'm not using someone else's lyrics or someone else is not speaking into my life in a huge moment. Now, I realize that's not a normal thing. That's not what everyone does. I recognize that. That's why I want to talk about something really cool here now. It's called Songfinch. And what this is an actual company that employs many, many songwriters that can write you a special song for that special event. So if you're looking for the perfect gift for someone, per se, and you just don't know what to get them, you could think beyond material things and get them something that's very unique and unforgettable, the gift of an original song from Songfinch. See, Songfinch lets you create an original studio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique and personal and lasts forever. Songfinch walks you through a 4-step process. It's super simple to create your original song. And you just tell them who the song is for. You provide some personal details and let them know the type of song you want. Then you pick your favorite Songfinch artist, get matched up with one if you don't know, and then they'll write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days, and then you'll have it. And then you could do all kinds of unique add-ons if you want, like make it into a vinyl record, you know, or make a one-of-a-kind art from those lyrics. You could even add your song to Spotify. It's really cool. Songfinch is the only original music platform that guarantees you'll love the song or they'll work until you do. They stand behind every single original song that they create, and they've done this over 300,000 times. So don't waste another second on more stuff. Get that studio quality original song that's totally unique to you and your relationship. It only takes 4 to 7 days. What are you waiting on? This song will last forever. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free so you could listen to your new favorite song anywhere you go. Go to songfinch.com/Granger and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming to your original song for free. That's a $50 value. This offer is only available for my listeners at my special URL, songfinch.com/Granger. That is songfinch.com/Granger. Don't wait. Get started right now. Next question comes from Sonja, and it says, hey, Granger, my husband and I are newlyweds, and recently we bought 20 acres in Middle Tennessee. We are planning on getting chickens and goats on our property. However, we are also planning on starting a family very soon, Lord willing. Considering you have chickens, goats, and children, do you think it would be unwise for us to get children and goats now as we begin trying to start a family? We both work full-time jobs outside of the home in case that plays in a factor of your opinion. Thanks for all you do. Sonja. I think that's how you say it, Sonja. Okay, so thinking about this question, you are newlyweds. Congratulations on 20 acres. That's incredible for newlyweds. What a blessing that is. And you're considering getting some animals, but you're wondering if it's unwise to get chickens and goats. Why do you think she asked that? Do you know why she asked that?
Well, I don't know if there'd be a
financial thing or a
I was thinking more maybe a responsibility thing of needing someone maybe to care for them while they're busy with if they have a young baby or something. I don't know.
So this is it's a heart position. Mm-hmm. Sanja, it's going to be where's your heart in this? Are you needing to work your job and your husband's needing to work his job so that you could pay for the 20 acres and then you're going to get animals that you're going to have an extra responsibility and then you want children? I think that might be starting to get unwise because now you don't have time to be with the children and your husband definitely doesn't. So if that's what you're asking, I think, yes, I would say unwise. But I'm not sure if that's what you mean. But I do know you said we both work full-time jobs outside of the home. If that is an absolute requirement to keep up with the payments, say it's a problem. Do you agree with that, Marv?
Yes. It's easy to, in society around us, to think, well, that's just a normal thing that the husband and the wife work, and you often, well, your lifestyle reflects that, where you both have to work.
Yeah.
And it's hard to have a concept of just the husband working and the wife being a stay-at-home. I've seen time and again where often it's normal for when you have a new baby that the mom stays home just long enough until she kind of gets on her feet. And when the baby's ready, they go off to daycare and she goes back to work to support a lifestyle. But my opinion would be 20 acres isn't worth the sacrifice if that's what it takes.
You said to support a lifestyle. That's the key. We're not talking about husband has a back injury from falling off a ladder. Mom has to go to work to make ends meet. You guys have a one bedroom apartment in the city. You're doing the best you can just to put beans in the pot. That's not what we're talking about. We're saying supporting a lifestyle of a 20 acre farm in Middle Tennessee with animals, and you're working two jobs to keep that up. I would say downgrade the lifestyle until you reach a point where you go, I am fully available for children. And then if you could buy chickens and have chickens roaming around the property, and you could hold your possessions with open palms. I love to think of it. If you have closed fists around these possessions in terms of I have to work, I have to do, we have to fulfill this. And then once we get it, we have to hang on to it. And if we'd be devastated if we had to share it with anyone, we would be devastated. Then your heart position has to be readjusted. I think that's what you're asking.
Yeah, this is probably a dream come true for them to have a 20-acre farm as newlyweds. But this would be my thoughts, that children are a gift from God. Chickens and goats aren't necessarily. And those may be able to come in time, but don't turn your dream into a nightmare.
That's a great point. So speaking of 20-acre farms and chickens, what's the difference between Amish and Mennonites?
Probably the size of their farms. just as a quick history thing, the Mennonites would have came from the Catholic Church. And after the Mennonites were a people for some time, the Amish actually broke off of the Mennonites. And
wow,
there's a lot of, so Jacob Ammon would have been where the Amish name would have came from the name Ammon. So
the Amish are your little brothers.
I guess you could say it that way. the Amish would believe in salvation, but that would vary some by again, there's different Amish. There's a spectrum of Amish. Just for practical purposes, there's Old Order and there's New Order, but then there's also a lot of different sects of Amish in that. And they would typically, in their range, it would all be dependent on lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Now, the commonality of the Amish was they generally can't have cars. So they drive horse and buggy, or they hire a driver to take them places. But it would mostly be along lifestyle, and it would be very much, they would generally look at separation from the world would be a physical thing. Mm-hmm. So their foundational belief is that God, from what I understand, is that God never changes. And so therefore, if we follow God, we should never change. And so that's kind of why the Amish could appear stuck in time, because they take that very literally. But there's a lot of man-made, well, it's a man-made system, but it's from the way they interpret certain scripture verses. And there's, whenever you have a man-made system that strong, there's a strong authority that goes with it. And there's also, there's a lot of rules. And of course, when you have a lot of rules, well, then you still have humans are humans, no matter if they're Amish or not. And so there's a lot of bending and twisting and reshaping. And so it's amazing how some of the Amish find ways to actually still have fairly modern conveniences without really breaking the rules. It's ingenuity at its finest.
So I saw something similar with the Orthodox Jews in Israel.
Yes. Okay. There'd probably be some similarities.
They find ways around rules that they have made.
And us Mennonites are not all that different sometimes.
Yeah. So there's an interpretation from scripture, and a rule is made from an interpretation. And then in order to live a modern life, there's exceptions made, or not exceptions, there's ways around the rules that they have made from the interpretation. It's so interesting.
Yes.
Now, with Jews, we're not talking about the Bible, we're talking about the Torah. But on the Sabbath, you can't use an elevator. You can't push an elevator button.
Amazing.
So everybody has made Sabbath elevators that go up to the top floor and then back down one floor at a time, so that you could just walk in, the door opens, and you walk in, and you ride it up till you get to your place, and it opens, and you walk out. So it's just a way around. You're still riding the elevator.
Yes.
You're still using the modern convenience of the electric elevator.
That type of mindset does make for so many inconsistencies. And we could talk a lot about that. But what the Amish do well at is they're very strong community. They're very loyal to each other.
Yes.
They have usually big families and
amazing craftsmen.
Yes, amazing. They have passed on a quality work ethic very well. They put high marks on that, I believe. And so there's things the Amish have. They're really a throwback in time. They live with values. And in some ways, Mennonites, the similarities would be that we both believe at some level that being separate from the world affects our lifestyle, affects us in a physical way. But the Mennonites have typically decided to live with more modern conveniences in the way we live our life. We drive vehicles. We buy our clothes for the most part. Now that depends on who you are. If you're a real conservative Mennonite, they may, especially the women, may make their dresses. But the Amish would, for the most part, make all of their clothes. Or they may have somebody Amish make clothes and maybe sell them in a store, in an Amish store. But their pants and shirts and even their shoes and the dresses, their head coverings, all of that is all made by Amish, to my understanding, and often homemade.
When I go to Pennsylvania, I love to buy, or Indiana, I love to buy from the Amish store. In fact, we have two former Amish that make our chicken coop, our garden, my greenhouse. We have actually the Roman cross I have here in the backyard made by Amish because their work ethic and their precision craftsmanship is unmatched.
They also one thing they do almost exclusively, they pass on a language, the Pennsylvania Dutch language. The Mennonites do that some. The Amish do it much better.
Can you speak it?
Ikan Dutch. Yeah. Ischwitz Dutch. Zelf on my Ash language vest. That means, yes, I can talk Dutch. I'm fluent in it. And Dutch was my first language. I knew that before I knew English.
I did not know that, Marv. Wow. Fascinating conversation. Okay, let's get to another question here. It's from Cheyenne. It says, "Hey Granger, my husband and I are 26 years old, brand new parents of a little boy. We've been together for 8 years and have gone through many trials together: loss of parents, siblings, miscarriages, etc. All of which have made us struggle with our faith throughout these years. While I began and continuously work on my relationship with the Lord, my husband will often challenge or mock me when I speak. My worry is that our son will grow up hearing some of these things. How can I continue to help and encourage my husband through this process? And how could I help lead my son? Any advice would be helpful. I love what you do and how you speak love and light into the world. Thanks for it all." All right, Cheyenne. I'm sorry for this tough situation you're in. Being so young, 26, you have been together 8 years, and it sounds like you are a Christian, it sounds like, and your husband is not. Is that kind of what you're getting?
Yes.
And thankfully, the Bible does talk about this. It talks about scenarios like this.
Are they married? Does it say they're married?
That's an interesting question. I don't think I noticed. I don't. Yes, my husband.
Okay.
My husband and I are 26 years old, brand new parents to a little boy. Well, the first answer for a Christian, Cheyenne, if you're a Christian, the first answer is you pray. Mm. You pray for him. You pray for your husband, and you pray for your little boy. And you beg the Lord for him. And you have an opportunity through your serving them and through the love that you have for them, you have an opportunity to be a witness through that. So that the Bible says that there is a way that you could break him down so that he ends up thinking, how could you be so joyful? How could you still serve me even when I'm angry with you? How could you still look at me and love me? And your answer is the Lord. Hmm. There is a testimony in that that is true. And I would prioritize praying for your own strength to do that and for his salvation over. I would prioritize that over all the other things, like going to church when he doesn't go, counsel with the other women, at the possible having a pastor meet, all that stuff's important, but I would pray like it all depends on God. What do you think about this, Marv?
So one of the things I would certainly encourage her with is, what was her name?
Cheyenne.
One thing I would encourage you with, Cheyenne, is to make sure that you're in a local church. And maybe you are. If you are, surround yourself with support. Share your story with someone that can walk through it with you.
Yeah.
A little encouragement for you is back in 2010, well, before 2010, like 2008, 2009, my wife and I had been married about 5 years, and I was not who I was supposed to be as a husband or as a Christian. And my wife knew that, and she took it upon herself to start praying for me. And she prayed. She had a card that had a prayer for her husband on it that she committed to praying every day. Mm. And she prayed that prayer faithfully. And I had no idea. And it was through that, when my life became so miserable, that I actually was unwilling to go further and ended up, I was miserable in every area of my life. Now, was that doesn't sound like a good thing, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it drove me to finding something better. And when my life changed, which I went home one day from work, I had reached the end of myself, and I, in desperation, grabbed a Bible and started reading. I had to find out if I was a Christian or not. And And my life totally changed that day. My eyes were opened, and that was the beginning. That was my rebirth. And after that, my wife said, I've been praying for you. And it's never been the same. So that's what I would encourage you, is just pray. Pray, pray. Commit yourself to that. And then don't pray out of desperation. Pray out of praise. And pray in faith. It's very important to pray, cast your husband, you could say, on him, and then leave him there. And otherwise, what Granger said is wonderful. Just stay in the Word and pray for yourself as well. But get that connection with the Father is how you're going to get through this.
That's incredible. Wow. Cheyenne, what a blessing that you have Marv to give you the other side of this whole scenario. That is fantastic.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Next question comes from Casey and says, hey Granger and whoever else might be on this podcast, thank you for the music and the laughs and the memories I've had with my friends and family because of you and your family. Why is it so hard to ask for help for what seems like everyone, especially if someone you don't know a lot about yourself? Let me read this again. Why is it so hard to ask for help for what seems like everyone, especially if it's something you don't know a lot about yourself? I'm not sure what he means by that.
Would he be meaning... why is it so hard to ask for help? Because it said something about, because you don't know a lot about something, like kind of the idea that it's hard to humble ourselves to actually ask. We already feel like we should know. Is that kind of what you're gathering?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And so Casey, it sounds like this is a lesson in vulnerability for you. And maybe there's a little bit of pride of showing other people that you might not know everything. And that is, for especially for guys, that is a thing, you know. I remember my dad was so good at just asking questions and not worrying about if people thought he was stupid for asking the question. Because so many times we go through life, and I'm guilty of this, we go through life just kind of listening and agreeing. And inside you're thinking, I wish I could ask more about this, but I don't want to slow this conversation down, or I don't want to, surely I should know this answer and I don't. So Casey, it's a practice of vulnerability to say, because when people do that to me, I never think, oh, this guy's so stupid. I always think, wow, it's great to sometimes slow down and to help explain, because that's the only way we learn. So Casey, I think that's what this is about, is you starting small and practicing the art of saying, hang on a second, guys. Can you explain that one more time? I don't know a lot about this. And I think you'll be surprised when you start doing that, that people don't look at you like you're dumb. They actually look at you like you're more intelligent because you want to actually know more about a certain subject. Bill says, Granger, love your podcast. I'm 23, live in Oklahoma. I have a great job. I've accomplished a lot at my age. And so I plan on staying at this job for a long time. My parents are split up, but I have my own house, so that doesn't affect me as much as my younger brother. Last May, my dad's house burned to the ground. So I let him stay with me temporarily. It's been almost 10 months. I feel like having him living with me puts a cap on my potential. I've lived by myself for 2 years before last May. I know the Bible says honor your father and mother, but how long is too long for this to continue? It also puts a burden on my relationship with my mom because she can't come to my house anymore. And all my friends and his friends tell me that he's never going to move out. I think it puts a damper on my relationship because I don't feel like I'm independent anymore, especially when he asked where I'm going all the time. I'm afraid that it's going to hinder our relationship if something doesn't change. He can afford a new house, but he chooses not to look. I think part of him doesn't want to move out because he gets to see me every day and my brother, and at the same time, every other week. I am thinking about how the right way to react is. God bless, and thanks for all that you do for us small town kids. Bill. Okay. That's an interesting question, Bill. 23, young. Mm. Young, going through this. Dad is living with you, and he has been for 2 years because his house burned down. You are worried about violating honoring him, and you don't want to be also abused and taken advantage of. So I think your reaction to this and your question is valid and normal. How do you answer this guy, Marv?
Well, for one thing, I'm thinking of how unique the question is, the situation is, because usually it's the other way around. Usually dad has a son living at home that won't leave, and it's a hard situation. One of the first things I would say is you're going to have a conversation with him, and maybe you have already. If not, that probably has to be one of the next things that happens, but this is a situation where, again, are you in a church regularly? This would be where somebody around you could give you some great advice and walk through this with you, because it is a balance. It's a hard situation with you being the son, and you want to honor your father, and bless you in that, by the way, for having that desire or realizing that that's important to honor your father. But honor doesn't always mean just accommodate. And so how does that look like to move forward in honor? And while still, you know, being taken advantage of is one of the hardest things to deal with. When you feel taken advantage of, all of your perseverance, all of your endurance, it's challenged. And so that's one thing that is very hard. And I recognize that when you feel taken advantage of, and you know, I don't know if you're a Christian or not, but pray about it and share it with somebody that can walk through this with you. But whatever happens, if you have the standard of honoring your father, but realize that honor isn't always accommodation. But if you move forward with that in mind, I think you'll do the right thing.
Wow. That's really good. Honoring does not equal accommodating. And I get that question. You probably heard that a lot. How do I honor a father or a mother who is doesn't seem worthy of that honor. And so there's nuance there of,
yes.
Okay, well, what is honoring? What does that mean?
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily mean trusting.
No.
It doesn't mean that you welcome an alcoholic into your house. That's not honoring. So I think the only thing that I think Marv's answer is great. And I think my part in this conversation would be to dig in on what it looks like practically to have that conversation with him.
Yes.
I think Bill, it's not easy to break ice like this. But it looks something like taking him out of the distracted world and saying, Dad, I'd like to, maybe you even set it up where, Dad, I'd like to have some coffee with you one of these days to kind of discuss some things so that you're acknowledging that you want to have a conversation. This isn't something you're having in the kitchen while you're making an omelet or he's walking out of the door and grabbing his coat. Dad, I want to tell you about how long you're going to live in the house. Let's actually pick a time and go, Dad, is 3 o'clock on Friday a good time? Have some coffee and talk about some things so that you're at a table and it's one-on-one and maybe you even have some stuff written down so he knows you're serious. And you start with, just like you said, Dad, I love you. I want to honor you. I feel like it's the right thing for me to honor you. And I just want to say how grateful I am to have a great dad that has raised me and that prepared me for life in so many ways for the 26 to 23 years. But I do, Dad, want to talk about our living situation. And I kind of want to hear from you because I'm happy, Dad, to support you and I'm happy to help you out in your time of need. But I would like to respectfully know how long is this so I could plan ahead with my bills, with my life, with my own independence as I'm growing, as I'm thinking about work and possibly a wife one day. Can you give me a time frame? Open up the door and see where that kind of conversation goes.
Right. One thing that caught my attention was that you mentioned you think the one reason he likes to stay there is because he likes to see you. That's actually pretty special. Mm. And don't take that lightly. Mm. A song that keeps coming into my head is, I think it's titled The Cat's in the Cradle. If you don't know that song, go listen to it. Ricky Skaggs sings it and multiple other people. But maybe there's some of that in your situation. And value that. Value that your dad wants to see you and kind of have that in your mind and appreciate it maybe before you start the conversation. Just a thought.
You know, in just a few weeks, as we record this podcast, in a few weeks, actually in 1 week, will be 10 years to the day I lost my dad. Hmm. And it's interesting as we kind of wrap up this podcast too, because Maverick, my son, was waking up this morning he was going to bed last night and Amber put him down and she said, he wants you to go tell him a story, because I always tell him a story at night to put him down. Mm. It's always the same. I make up this story about a little boy on a tractor and he's driving in the green grass and he sees all these animals. He sees a grasshopper and he sees a bird and he sees a gorilla and gets back in the tractor and drives.
That's awesome.
And I just make it up and we talk about what the gorilla says.
Mm.
So I'm watching him on the little Amber's little monitor and she says, he's waiting on you. And should we just let him fall asleep? And I thought, no, I'll go in there. And I walk into the room and I open the door and his eyes light up. And I went and laid down with him and started telling him the story. But it made me think about the way I reacted when my dad would walk into wherever I was. My brothers and I were sleeping. And seeing him walk in, it made me then reflect on the fact that it's been 10 years since I've seen his face. And I think that's an interesting perspective, Bill,
yes.
As we talk about this, because most likely, you will lose your dad and you will look back and a decade will go by like that. And you'll say, man, I remember when dad's house burned down and he lived. You guys remember when Dad's house burned down and he lived with me for 2 years? And then you'll look back and you won't look back in contempt of that. You'll look back and go, thank God that he lived with me and I got closer than I ever did.
There's so many things that I basically hated when I was young that I would never trade today. Mm. That may be one of them.
Absolutely. Well, we love you guys. It's been such an honor having you, Marv.
It's been an honor to be here.
The first podcast listener turned guest.
Thank you for having me on, Granger.
Appreciate it's you, brother.
Special.
See y'all.
Yee-yee. Thanks for joining me on the Granger Smith podcast. I appreciate all of you guys. You could help me out by rating this podcast on iTunes. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, hit that little like button and notifications bell so that you never miss any time I upload a video. Yee-yee.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, the values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with 2 young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.